The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Economy is in a real pickle, okay?
I don't think a pickle is the word that describes it.
The house shot down the plan.
I think the typical slang for an outhouse is probably more appropriate.
and the outhouse shot the plan down, so
yes.
So now, you know, stocks plummeted today because they knew that was going to happen. You know,
what do you think? It's a mess. It's an absolute mess.
Are we going to talk politics?
Well, here's the thing. Coming up right after a short break, and it's not politics, it's economics, man. But, you know, right after the break, we're going to play an interview with John Sapricone talking about this very subject.
Yeah. The sad thing is the interview was how long ago?
Yeah. And he nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. And we're going to play that.
Okay.
And then that's going to be the opening. See, as we were having this heated discussion before we came on the air, it has come down to the time when
all the tracks are going to close.
Racetracks,
all of them, just are going to close. Racing is over.
Racetracks are. Racetracks are mostly losing money. And they're in serious trouble.
Dire straits.
And one of the things that we do know is that most race car drivers don't know anything at all about how the business end of this game works. All they really know is bringing their cars, and they see certain things on the outside. But most racetrack, the drivers who race have no clue about the business end, and they need to get a more of a clue. And there's some things that the owners are going to have to do. And they're already looking at doing it, and it's not like it might happen. It's going to happen. There's going to be some major changes in this game.
And, well, you know, one of the things, Jack, we're going to see over the next few weeks how much communication we can actually get from some of these track owners. That's going to be the real issue, because I think we can lay out a lot of things, but if we can't get some honesty out of some track owners, because that's what I'd like to do.
Well, we will
get some honesty out of them.
That might. We've already had quite a bit of communication with several track owners, and in one case, a general manager who has been running a track for a long time. But we've already had a conversation with four or five track owners about these issues in pretty good detail, and we have had ongoing for years and years. But now they're starting to get serious about it. As a matter of fact, this whole subject, and we're not going to get too much into it right tonight, but this whole subject of the racetracks and their difficulties and their problems and the changes that are coming was brought to me by a track owner. They asked us that we need to talk about this stuff because people aren't talking about it. And it was actually requested, at the request of a track owner, that we're even going down this road. So let's take a break and come back and listen to what John has. And call in line here is 941-228-8359.
Folks, we'd have an 800 number, but the economy's just terrible.
It sucks.
You're listening Inside Florida Racing. We'll be back, and then we're going to play a clip for you. Clip. We still have clips. We have.
CarNag.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNag.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNag.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNag gets it done.
Thank you.
Who's on the racing line, Jackie?
Do you really want to know?
I really want to know. Who is on the racing line, Jackie?
So, Rob, you want to talk to another promoter?
Ask that other question.
Actually, he goes on to say, I'm not necessarily picking on John. I didn't read the rest of this.
What the hell's wrong with you people?
Question number two. When is the ASA series coming back to race at DeSoto Super Speedway?
No, that's not question number two. Question number two is
Which ASA series?
Well, we'll have to go back at the message and see which one they're referring to. Jack,
Rob's got a big stick in his hand trying to stir crap, John. That's all.
I would never do that. That is a lie.
You would never try to stir things up. Oh,
that is a lie, and you know it.
So let's get to.
I don't know how many people are listening to the stupid thing.
There's only three. There's three. Listen, all three of them have it turned up loud right now. Okay.
Yeah.
So have respect.
Oh.
So John, the second question, and this is a question I had, was, so when is Leroy Davidson coming to work for you?
I heard that Leroy Davidson was coming up this weekend, and he wanted to come up there. And I said, anytime you want to come up, it's great for me. I could care less. I mean, we'll have you up there. I don't care. Anybody who wants to come, they can come. I don't care.
No, he wants to come run the show.
Well, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So,
well, what do you
told me that yet?
Well, what do you think about the idea of starting up again with? Meetings.
Nobody's told me yet.
Wait a minute.
What? Hold on.
One at a time.
Okay. Now, what do you think about starting up the meetings that y'all used to have with the track owners and promoters, and maybe have Leroy sort of coordinate everything and facilitate them? And
you couldn't get all these track promoters and all these track owners in the same room to agree on we're going to have Pepsi or Coke. That's how bad it is.
But it's always fun to beat that dead dog a little bit, isn't it?
I'm tired of it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm going to go do motocross, because a lot of the clients stop.
That's not a bad idea.
These guys are throwing money at me, and they're going, John, why aren't you going to do this? I says, guys, it's on. I says, you guys want it? You guys got it.
Why not?
I like to make $15,000, and at the end of the night, give them $2,000 back and say, go have a nice weekend, because that's what they are. They don't cry and moan and carry on. It's ridiculous.
Are you done crying and carrying on?
I never cry.
Let's talk about what you know about most, and that is auto racing.
Nothing.
Auto racing, yes, you do. You know things about that. Tell us what's going on at your racetrack a little bit, man. I mean, you got anything really exciting coming up?
I think Lennon McHugh, I was speaking to him today, he's going to buy the racetrack.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad deal. If you were going to sell it to somebody, okay, that would be a stand-up guy to sell.
What are the units?
That guy buys more tires for my driver's thing. You could shake a stick at him.
So sure. What are the units? Did you figure out what the units are going for yet, John?
What units?
Was it 1,000 you said? Was that 1,000 number you said? 1,000 a square foot?
1,000 a square foot, yeah, I think that's a little out of reach, though, for a lot of people.
Hey,
we'll try to get whatever we can.
I don't know. I was up in eastern Sarasota over the weekend, and they keep building them $5 million homes, you know, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't know how they're paying for them. That's the only problem.
Well, that's all they can build is $5 million homes, and, they're only worth $500,000.
Seriously, John, what do you think about the state of traveling series now? How is the deal with this traveling series deal? Has it changed over the last couple of years?
Which one?
Well, all of them. You know, I mean, a few years ago,
I hope you've been watching the news. I hope you've been reading the newspaper. It ain't good out there. It's definitely not good. I told this to everybody last December. I says, guys, you're in a recession. I says, I hope you guys read the newspaper. I hope you guys look at everything, because it's not good. And, you know, a lot of people looked at me like I had two heads. Now they're starting to realize that $4.50 a gallon for diesel to get to the racetrack and $3 something to get, you know, to come to the races, people don't have that money.
We're not in recession yet, because it would be a lot worse.
Go ahead, John.
You're past the recession, guys. You're going to come through a depression that you've never seen before. Mark my words on it, what's going to happen. You're going to see something that you've never seen before. This is the third time I've been through it, and you know what? It's not good.
Yeah, it's. I mean, people that that get beyond the sound clips that you hear on the news and really start reading some in-depth news coverage about what's going on in the in our economy. You very quickly can see what you're talking about.
You don't really have to, you know, listen to the news when you go into the store and you buy and you pay $3 for, you know, a loaf of bread or $5 for a gallon of milk or whatever you're trying to buy and the shipping and this. You know, I get bills in every day, and it's like, well, we're going to charge you 10% for gas and 10% for this. Well, you know what, guys? It just keeps on adding up and adding up and adding up until these people sit back and realize what's going on here. You know, we're going to be an upside-down economy. We're going to be the United States. We need to take back the country. People don't realize what's going on here, and it's going to be too late when it's over. That's my point of view.
What's your answer?
What's my answer?
Sure, if you're going to throw your point of view out there, at least have some kind of answer. How can we fix it?
What my answer is, you need to get rid of these politicians, cut the taxes in half, okay? Give back the country to the people that made this country 30, 40 years ago, the mom-and-pop businesses, and who supported this country and who made this work. It was all the mom-and-pop stores. Today, corporate, you know, corporate stuff is out the window, and people just don't realize it, and you're getting sucked up by every big conglomerate.
So you think by supporting your local, instead of buying from Walmart or one of those big corporates, you go spend your money at your local Ace Hardware or something like that? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Spend your money and support the local businesses in the county, in your state, in the, you know, don't be giving it to this big corporate stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous because...
What if Walmart wanted to buy your racetrack tomorrow for what you want?
What if they wanted to buy it? I'd sell it to them. I'd sell it to anybody. But you know, the problem here is that, you know, we all got to work together, and these big corporations that came in, look what's going on with NASCAR, and look at the TV and look at the empty seats they got. What do you think that just happened yesterday? No, that's been happening for 2 years. And what they did to short track racing, I really don't care about NASCAR, but you know. My stuff is, you know, you got a mile and a half racetrack and everybody's following the leader. What happened to the Martinsville? What happened to the old Richmond track? What happened to Wilkesboro? What happened to the action? They forgot about the customers.
No, they just go to where the money's at.
So I originally had asked you, like, the traveling series a few years ago.
I really never liked traveling.
Exactly.
And I told you guys.
Exactly.
It's bad for every racetrack in this state. You want to have a traveling series, have a sprint car series, and have a super late model series, and be done with it. Everything else, keep those cars in your backyard where they belong. Because you know what? They get mad at me. They get mad at Don DeRone. They get mad at Bobby Deal. They get mad at this one. And they all hop around. Now, okay, you're paying $3.50 for a gallon of gas or $4.20 for a gallon of diesel. These people can't afford that. They cannot do it.
Now, John.
It's going to happen.
John, with the state of the economy, how is it affecting your backbone classes at your track?
It's affecting everything. It's affecting everything from A to Z. I mean, I'm not selling a lot of cars. I'm not selling a lot of gas. I'm not getting cars in the pits. I'm not getting fans in the stands. Anybody tells me that they're doing great, I'll call them a liar to their face because I'll put my P&L list against anybody and show them what's going on. It's not as much money as you think it is. It's tough. It's tough for everybody. And you're going to see a lot of layoffs. You're going to see a lot of different stuff happening. And people are going to be hurting. And you have never seen this before. And mark my words when I tell you what's going to happen here.
Okay.
Man, come on, guys.
You're just a buzzkill, man. That's all.
All right. You heard it here on Real Racing USA.
I mean, you know, come on. We gotta all...
I try not to watch the news on purpose so I don't have to listen to this kind of
support
crap.
Support.
Now it's on my show. Now on my show, I'm
well,
having
this
to talk
is, now,
politics.
Now, this is a problem. It's really hard to support mom and pops for
right.
shops for things because I can't find any around that are going to have the items that I need.
And, John, let me give you an example. Let me give you a really good example. This is right here at home.
ahead.
We were looking for to change a light in our house. We wanted a different kind of light.
Right.
We wanted to spend $50 to $60 on this light if we could. We didn't want to go to Walmart and some cheap thing like that. We were looking for something a little nice. We didn't want to spend a lot of money, but we wanted a light. So we look in the Yellow Pages, and sure enough, we know where one lighting store is. They got Lighting Plus, whatever. It has, in Port Charlotte, has every kind of light in it. It's down by the bowling alley. You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I know what you're
talking about. Then there was another one, because on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, when all of us are off working, supposedly, the freaking stores are closed, and they're closed Sunday. And we're going,
what?
Screw, well, I'm telling you, these people down here in Florida.
I don't believe it. You know,
it's crazy.
I'll tell you one thing, and what that's really, you know, I've seen this business throughout my years. And you know what? I think we all should have off Sunday, no matter what we do. Okay? But you know what? Because we have to pay the electric bill, and we got to pay the taxes, and we got to pay this, and we pay that. Everybody's got to work. Every store's got to be open 7 days a week. You think that's fair? I don't think that's fair. I don't know if you remember when you were a kid. I know I remember when I was 14.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, John. People like me who work 6 days a week, Sunday is the only day we can get out and run the errands and get things done.
I go to church and go to the stores.
Yep.
You got to go to church on Sunday.
Go ahead, John.
You know why that's like that? Because people don't care anymore, and the politicians out there, they're just choking all of you, and you're taking it. We're all paying.
And you're taking it. Well, you're taking it too. You're taking it too.
The country in between the bullies. Forget about raising the taxes. I mean, how much you're going to raise the front gate? How much you're going to raise the back gate? You can't do that. It's like how much you're going to raise the gas? How much you're going to raise the milk, the bread, the eggs? How much you going to raise on these people? You know what? If you had somebody running a country that could run the country between A and B and say, look, guys, we got $100 billion. That's all we got. Well, we need another $10 billion. Well, we'll just raise the taxes. Bullshit.
So,
excuse me.
So you're going to run for governor, right?
You just make money anyways.
You're going to run for...
I'm going to run for president. What, are you kidding? Why not go all the way to...
Okay. I thought maybe you're going to get your feet wet first, but I understand.
There's never going to be an Italian running our country.
Somebody's got to step up to the plate, no? I wish somebody would.
Rob, you can't say that on this show.
Why not?
No, I'm not talking... I said Rob can't.
I can say
he just said an Italian can't will never get elected president.
Well, didn't they say a Catholic would never get elected, and then Kennedy?
Yeah.
Well, they said a woman would never get elected.
So what you're
saying? A black guy would never be elected either,
or a woman.
So John,
a black guy, this one, that one. I mean, come on, just somebody step up that can run it between the bullies. That's all I'm asking.
John, I have never heard you talk more about this kind of stuff, politics and stuff, than in the last couple of months. For real.
Well, you know what? It's live. It's real. It's happening, guys. It's there, and it's not going to go away.
And so how does this affect...
Common sense, man. Get some common sense. That's all I'm asking. They turn around, these girls beat up this other girl the other night on the TV, right? And they say, well, mm-hmm. We've got to look into this. Look into this. I said, what the hell are they going to look into?
Man, that happens. That happens so much, that same stuff.
But you know the big uproar over that incident that John's talking about now is that Dr. Phil character went and bailed them all out.
Just what? One. He bailed one out.
Why?
Because they were going to do a show.
Because they want, he wants to get them on his show.
They decided they weren't going to do a show. And,
well, let's prosecute them.
Oh, they're going to get prosecuted. Those girls are in trouble.
Wait a minute, guys. If you went turn around and you robbed a bank and you had six friends with you, because everybody is, and you're in the group, don't you think everybody should be prosecuted the same way? Yes, without a doubt. Okay? What's the difference between this thing? You got a videotape. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys. Stop spending the money, put them in jail, and see you later. Maybe people will realize what's going on here.
So when you were robbing banks, what decisions did you make?
Me? I never let them catch me.
Well, I still say...
You need to get your late model.
John is
to the sort of speedway and race. And let me see what you can do. That's what you need to do. You need every track that.
I don't need to impress you or anyone else. Stop it.
No, you don't have to.
I'm getting married on Saturday.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah. See, I have that beautiful child already. I've got the cart way before the horse. And
put the cart before the horse.
You know, but everything's working out good. And
that's good. I'm happy for you.
You know, the economy's so bad, I can't even afford to come to your racetrack. I'd like to.
I'll put you in for free. How's that?
I know. I already know I have a free entry coming for the trivia question I answered last year. But I can't afford
the
gas. How about the fuel? Can I get some gas money?
What do I got to do? Don't worry, I'm working on a bus right now that we're going to bring people in from Tampa and people from Charlotte. We're working
right
on a bus deal right now. It's going to be free of charge.
Tampa.
You can come to the races and see what's going on.
Right. Oh, that's cool.
You can have a trailer? You can tow race cars?
Tow your race car up.
But that's true, though. We all working on something like that.
Yes, he is. And, John, just so you know, I did mention it to my GM there at the radio station, so hopefully we'll be getting in touch with you.
So yeah, we're going to do some big races and do some sprint car shows and some All-American Challenge Series races, Supers, and, you know, bring people in from Tampa, bring them in from Charlotte down that area and show them, you know, a different racetrack.
It's a good idea to bring up here from Tampa because that place is,
you know,
used to be racing, but it's not anymore.
You know, Tampa spent $6,000 TDRA in advertising for the last race that we had. We had 32 sprint cars show up. And I begged them not to spend that kind of money. I said, guys, you're doing the wrong thing. It's too much. You know, and I had about 1,400 people. But I didn't think it was worth to spend $6,000 to get 1,400 people.
Nope, not unless you're getting about $40 a person.
No, but
it was a lot of money. But, I mean, they tried and they thought that would, you know, would help them and help the track and everything else. And I was sorry to say, but you know what, I told you so. But you know, you only can do so much, and you only can get so much blood out of a stone.
Why do you think that the fan support at your track is low at times? Do you live in a not near a bunch of neighborhoods out there is where the track is?
I have no idea. I mean, you know, you hear thousands and thousands of different excuses. And, you know, when you have Tampa and you can go to Busch Gardens, you can go to a concert, you can go to the movies, you can go to all these different places, it's very hard to attract the people to get the dollar. I mean, there's so many, you know, you look around, there's so many stores empty, there's so many restaurants that are having a hard time. By me, everybody's having a hard time. It's just not something that we hide. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, you're not suicidal or anything, are you?
What was that?
Are you suicidal or anything?
Suicidal?
What kind of question is that? Well,
he just sounds really down. He sounds really down about all the businesses not having anything going on.
Look at the freaking newspaper, guys. Look at the TV.
This is just to remind everybody.
Why,
this is the Dr. Rob show.
Why are they? Why are they?
Are
building...
we no longer Inside Florida Racing? Because I'm confused. Is this Inside Florida Politics?
This is what you two have brought on me today. Okay,
me.
I certainly didn't bring any of this economy stuff in here.
See, John,
I could care
every time you come on
the
show, you just cause havoc, man. What are we going to do?
Listen,
the
bad economy doesn't have anything to do with your rich racers that come to your racetrack.
My rich racers.
Oh, man, I don't know. There's always going to be guys that want to race, but it's the actual fans that come there, I think, is the issue at hand, that if you could get more fans there, and I think that, like you said...
we're all going to come... We're all going to...
I can tell you one thing, guys. If I have 1,500 people a week, I could make a good living. I don't need 3,000 people. Believe me, I don't want 3,000 people every week. I can't handle them.
It's crazy. Too many hot dogs. The toilets overflow. I mean,
you have
too much money.
What's wrong with the toilet? So I fix that real fast. And, you know, we fix that problem. So I don't have... I don't think we're going to ever have that problem again, because I dug up every pipe in that place, and I said, I'm going to find out why this is doing this. And I figured it out.
Did you get a permit for that?
No, I didn't.
Plug us in right here.
All right. There you have it. Kreskin, we call him.
John Kreskin.
That was John Sapricone, the owner and race director, the one all to do all, the one that, who is in charge of DeSoto Super Speedway, and that was a conversation we had in April.
The week of your wedding.
I guess it was.
Mm-hmm. It was April, what did I say, 14th?
Yeah, it was the Monday right before Rob's wedding.
So,
that's right. You mentioned that. I cut that part out. Mm-hmm. That's right. It was. But we're in a mess.
What's that? Wait a minute. That's not April this year. That was April last year.
No, it was April this year. Right before you got
married,
Rob.
It was right before your wedding.
You mentioned it on the show.
It's mentioned in the show.
Oh. Okay. Of course, I was listening. You can tell.
So anyway. So now things have deteriorated to that point that he was talking about. We all know it hasn't hit the bottom yet.
It is what it is, man. And he's been through it 3 times in his lifetime.
We're still trying to figure out how that's possible.
He wasn't referring to.
What decade?
I know exactly what he was talking about. You know,
talking about the ups and downs of the track.
He was talking about the ups and downs of the United States economy. He was referring to like the gas deal in the early 70s and the recession of the early 80s or whatever. That's what he was
saying. John is 80. I didn't realize he was that old. You know, he really hides his age well. So, you know, he's been through a few things. The 30s was probably rough on him. And
Bottom line is that, you know, from Orlando, and just to give you an example, Rob, Orlando and New Smyrna in this state right now. Orlando, if Robert Hart did not own that track, it would be closed. If he didn't own New Smyrna, it would be closed. Because they both, like Orlando or New Smyrna, they do pretty good during the Winter Nationals. But Robert doesn't make money the rest of the year. He keeps it open because he can afford to. He's been able to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He can afford to keep it open because, you know, he's obviously a man of means. You know, so that's 2 examples. If somebody else owned those tracks, they'd have been closed a long time ago.
So a true business owner, a businessman, would look at any one of these tracks and just walk away from it and just say that it's not a viable business to make money on.
Well, unless it was like, somebody who was, I think that's true in a lot of cases, don't you? I mean,
well,
yeah.
I think that, this is such a tough situation, you know, because I personally hate to see, you know, these racetracks and the times that they are. And if we go back and we listen to some of our past interviews, let's say, I'll take an example, a past interview, say, with, Critter, okay?
Yes.
Over there at Citrus. I remember the last interview I had with him. I remember we talked about, because something I always remember about Citrus when I used to race there, there's always a lot of fans there, always very excited and everything. And when we were talking to Critter, I remember that he wasn't real excited about the fans that were there. And he said that the fans had kind of dropped off and things had kind of dropped off around, you know, Citrus County Speedway. And that was probably 3 months ago.
Well, guess what? As of a week ago, as of this week, I talked to Critter. It's worse.
So, if you hear that, okay, we know John's state of affairs because his state of affairs has gotten worse since this recording that we just did. We know that Citrus' state of affairs has gotten worse. It's very evident that Bronson Motor Speedway, that their state of affairs have brought them to an end because they got for sale signs up. We're going to find out from these folks. All I can tell you is you need to stay tuned in over the next few weeks, and we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty with these track owners, these promoters. We're going to get some honesty out of them. And folks, you might be asking yourself, well, why are you guys hashing this stuff up? I think, and Jack thinks, CeCe as well, I'm sure, is that if something isn't done and it's not really brought to the forefront,
yeah,
that there won't be a racetrack for me to go spin out on 5 times in a race.
I'll give you an example.
There'll be no place for me to go on a Saturday night.
And watch such a thing.
That kind of thing happen.
Exactly. And a silly example of that is, Rob, you know, you've heard this. I don't know if you've ever done it. I kind of doubt that you've ever done it, but you may have. Where
a driver
tells a track owner that if you don't do something this way, that way, or the other way, I'm never coming back to your track.
The last time you'll see me here.
Well, see, that used to be something that track owners would go, you know, okay, they'd try to figure it, or they'd say, screw you, don't come back, or whatever. Now, they look at that and go, That's coming out of left field. If you had any idea, dude, how close this track is to closing, you wouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What they don't realize is that, I mean, just this year, look, there was no big build-up or fanfare. We wrote about a year and a half ago, about Lakeland closing, and many other people did as well. And it came up, no fanfare, closed, had one weekend of grief. It's gone, man. And that quick. This can happen all over the state. There isn't any track in this state, except for maybe, there may be a couple of them, maybe a couple, that can withstand what we're going through right now for any more length of time than maybe a year. I mean, there's just no way they can withstand it.
They've got to be like Robert Hart and have means to be able to not make money.
Yeah.
Because basically they're not making money. I know they're not making money at Charlotte. They're not making money at DeSoto. Not making money at Citrus. Bronson obviously ain't making money.
No. Ocala, it's up and down. I mean, it's really,
he sounds
really
excited because he's still dirty.
No, it's not good.
No, really? No,
absolutely. It's not good. It's not good anywhere.
Except for at East Bay.
Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Special events, maybe. How are their regular nights doing? Regular night, you know, where they don't. They run late models and sprint cars all the time, though, at East Bay, don't they?
Yeah, but you
didn't
know.
Didn't they say their attendance was up? About 15%.
Yeah, maybe somebody told us that.
You know, we'd have to actually do a incognito look over there on a regular.
But the
night,
expenses, the expenses at even at East Bay, they're huge.
I think at any racetrack, any business racetrack, you've got to have a ton of people there. I said the least people that you could use to run a racetrack is probably 50.
They're going
to
bring
50 people working.
In October, they're going to bring an event to Charlotte County Motorsports Park, a national event. The purse is somewhere around $20,000 for the event. You know, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts.
What is it, a monster truck show or?
ASA.
It's a late model race.
ASA
for Christ
late models, $20,000 purse.
It's crazy. It's nuts. You know, it's silly. It's beyond.
Well, I bet Bobby can't wait for
you
that.
You got guys. Go ahead, Susie.
No, I was going to say, and there's the trickle-down effect from this, because when the tracks aren't doing well, bills aren't getting paid, which means tire companies, beer companies,
exactly,
venues that they use for advertising, bills aren't getting paid. So that's hurting a whole nother sector. And if the tracks start closing down, now granted, I would think that if DeSoto were to close, it would probably have a beneficial ripple to maybe Auburndale
or Charlotte. What we found when tracks closed, and there's always exceptions to everything, but mm-hmm. generally, and John Barker from the Lakeland Ledger, myself, Rick Angies, and some other people have studied this, and we've interviewed people and checked out like what goes on. Basically, what we've found over and over is that when a track closed, 30% of the drivers quit immediately.
Really?
They park it. That's it. They're done. They go bass fishing or whatever.
Well, that's because their wives say, that's yep, it. It that's closed. It. That's it. It.
That's it. That's
you
it.
Ain't racing
he hit
no
it.
More.
He hit it right on the nose. Then the other another 30% lasts about a year and going to other places. Mm-hmm. And then the traveling and the other factors that come into it, it's not their place. You know, the thrill is gone. And they're gone. And it leaves about another 30%. And then you factor in there's a five-year average pretty much across the board, a five-year average lifespan of a race car driver. They're in the game for 5 years on average. That's how long the average guy hangs out in his hobby. And, you know, there's exceptions to that, and there's people mm-hmm. who don't make it even that long. But you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You factor that in. And actually, nobody gains in the long run when a track closed. No, the other ownerships do not gain in the long run. So
things are so bad, and taxes are so high, and the money's not coming in, that you might just see some of these guys put it on hold for a little while. I mean, a guy like John, okay, he's an example. He owns his racetrack, okay? So he could say, I'm going to close these doors up, and I'm going to grow hay on it, and I'm going to bale hay and pay my taxes. I'm going to greenbelt it. I'll put cows on it.
Yeah.
Okay? And maybe in a few years, 2 years or so, open it back up. Or the whole time he's going to have it for sale. But a guy like John, he's going to want good money for that racetrack. A guy like Mike Cope, he's going to want good money for his racetrack.
Absolutely.
So the racetracks are going to sit, just like the race cars sit.
Mm-hmm. We've seen that over the years.
Yeah. Sunshine Speedway is still sitting. It's just sitting there waiting.
I do believe St. Augustine is still sitting.
Yeah, St. Augustine, really nice racetrack, is sitting. There's always going to be a businessman that's going to be ready to step up and want to own a racetrack. I think their livelihood is shorter than the cars. When you say guys racing cars, it's 5 years.
Yeah, you've seen that over the last...
They have a big plan. John had a big plan going in there. Now, he's been there for 10, 11 years or
eight.
9 years. That's right.
Eight.
It was eight last year.
Eight.
Or it's getting there.
Mm-hmm. It's getting
so he's probably really getting worn thin on low car count, low people in the stands.
Yep.
I think that he's ready to hear a viable answer to his problem.
John said today, if somebody brought him a reasonable offer, he's ready to go. Not exact words, but basically he said, somebody bring me an offer, I'm ready, I'm done.
And I think that offer could also mean if somebody wanted to lease the place and take it and think that they could do a better job. Because if there's one thing that these track owners, are, especially a guy like him that owns the place, people start coming up telling him how he should be doing things, he'd probably say, hey, here's a piece of paper right here. Sign your name on the dotted line right here, and you can have it for X amount of dollars a month, and let's see what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the glass is always half full, you know, and...
Or it's greener. Grass always greener
when you
on
go,
the other side.
No, seriously, when you go around the state of Florida and you go to the different tracks, you find pockets of excitement. You know, you find the guy that just came out and started racing like in the last couple of years. He has a tremendous amount of excitement. There's a lot of excitement with sponsorship. And there is a great deal of positives on the other side. So it's not all doom and gloom. But I think, and you know, this stuff we can argue about and talk about over the next coming weeks with owners and drivers and other people. But there's three areas where I think that serious, just there has to be some serious attention paid to these. One is the purse structures and the whole concept of purses. I think there's owners already looking at that and figuring out ways to reduce that and deal with that, because the purses, the front gate promotion, meeting after meeting after meeting is held with between track owners and their staffs. And the amount of discussion that goes on about putting people in the front gate is ludicrous. There's not a track owner in this state that has a person on their staff whose only and sole job is to put people in the front gate.
Oh, yeah, there is. New Smyrna.
The front gate is not being addressed. That's not his only and sole job. If I'm wrong, he can call and correct me.
No, what I'm saying is they hired a guy.
Yeah, but that's not his only
marketing, and I think
that's not his only job. His job is also to get out there and sell sponsorship and all of that.
I think it's a good idea. That it's getting on the
better
track.
And then the third area is the ticket pricing.
Hey, how does Orlando do for people in the stands?
They're lucky if they have 200 people in the
grandstand. They're Friday night. They're Friday night racers. Yeah. Listen, Jack, if there's one thing that you're right on, because you're not right about much.
Right.
But it's that, okay, is that much as I like John, much as I like Bobby Deal, I really think that if they'd step back and put it in the control of a real manager, because a real manager isn't a guy like me that's a race car driver, okay? A real manager is a guy that knows how to manage money, business. You need a guy that's like a business finance major, okay? Because if there's one thing that a racetrack is, Jack, that you can probably attest to, that is a place where a lot of money comes through it. A lot of cash.
Well, a lot of the guys,
a lot of checks,
a lot of the owners are good
money.
Businessmen. A lot of them are good at handling finances and all of that, and they understand all that. But one thing that they almost all have in common is that they're all horrible at putting people in the front grandstand. I mean, on a consistent basis.
That's because they want to do everything their own way.
Yeah, exactly. But those are the three areas that I think, that it seems to me, from talking to the owners and looking at the situation ourselves and having talked to all the people is the front gate, the pricing of tickets, and the purses. They're paying too much in purses, for God's sake. They're just paying too much.
And I think that in this day and time, that they do need to restructure the purse game. And I've always been under... This is what I think as race car driver, okay? And I'm not going to say something what most of you think I'm going to say. So they need to raise the purses. That's not. What they need to do is you need to pay everybody that comes that's going to race in the class the same amount of money. Okay? Pay them all the same amount of money. That way, everybody gets enough money to keep their car running.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that happens to win... You give him a couple tires, you give him something to make him happy. Now, I'm talking about in the late model realm is what I'm talking about. These races, like he's talking about, they're going to have a late model race and have a $20,000 purse. You know what? Yeah, same race. You cut that purse in half, pay a $10,000 purse, and if you split that up between 20 cars that showed up, okay, there's going to be a couple of them guys that got like, NASCAR money put in their cars that are going to be really mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
forget them.
But the most of the people are not those guys. Most of the people are those guys that are only going to go home with $300 or $400 anyways.
So then,
that's with a late model.
Yeah, and that's a late model. But in every class, they could do this, DC, because you know, I would say, take a Road Warrior class. I do not know the structure payout of Road Warrior. I remember what my structure payout was for street stocks at Sunshine Speedway, and I remember that we were out there running, I think, for $110 for first place or something.
And what do you think about just going down to trophies like they were talking about for, like,
exactly.
Thunder Trucks when
in,
the classes have...
In, there are, there's at least...
If there's a points fund, yes.
There exactly.
Okay,
there,
if there's a points fund.
There are tracks around the country that for years and years and years have been running. Most of their classes run for trophies. That's common. I mean, it's not common, but it's done. It's been very successful. That's one of the things that a couple of the owners have, like imagine this. This was pointed out to me, and I never really thought about it. One of the owners said, what other hobby is there where some business subsidizes their hobby and then pays insurance for them on top?
I didn't understand that.
Well, you see,
because you're talking, it's a, you could have a hobby of kayaking or bass fishing, and nobody is subsidizing you to go do that and paying your insurance on your boat to go fishing.
So race car driver shows up to race his street stock, and he's going to get some money back for it showing up, okay? He pays for the privilege of using the facility, okay? And this is just one perspective that was presented to me. I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm just saying this is what the perspective is. Is the guy shows up to use the facility to get his thrill of speed or whatever it is, competition. And the track owner gives him some money back at the end of the night. In other words, he's subsidizing the guy's hobby, and he pays the guy's insurance. Now, the driver, of course, can say, yeah, but I'm your entertainment. But then the owner can also come back and say, yeah, but I don't need you. And he says, oh, yeah, well, how are you going to have your racetrack running if I'm not here? John Sapricone can close his racetrack 40 weeks of the year and have some special events like Crash-O-Ramas. He can do five or six of them and make more money than he's making now.
Might be, yeah.
Oh, not might be, can.
Yeah, in good times, though, when people liked going to the races, you couldn't have done that.
If we were filling the grandstands with people and having a lot more excitement.
Because there's a little bit difference between the kayaking and the boating and stuff, because the only thing that's different is if you were doing kayaking and boating and you were going to an event where they were charging money at the gate to come in, and then there was a guy that was selling concession and making, you know, all this money was being made.
That's true. That's right.
But that's where I come in with, instead of paying this huge purse where you get worried about having these big name guys that show up. Well, those big name guys are the ones that cost you money.
Right.
Where you could have the same guys show up, other than maybe two or three of these guys that are only going to come if there's $3,000 to win, because they're the only ones that are going to win. So it could cut a lot of money out of it. I know at Sunshine Speedway, they didn't pay the kind of purses that they pay at a lot of these racetracks week after week. They only ran two late model races during the year, CC. Two.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. If you cut back on how often the races are, you will sort of build a demand and interest because it's not there. It's not as readily available. So people would be planning, and the excitement would be there. Oh, gee, you know.
Or leave room for other stuff.
So these coming up.
So these are some of the issues. This is the basic situation. It's a mess. It's a disaster, and it's coming to an end unless something is done. These are some of the issues, and over the next 4 or 5 weeks, this is what we're going to talk about with owners. If you're a race car driver, what's email addresses here? You drive a race car or own a car or a sponsor or have something, a fan, you have something to say, send us some email. Let us know your ideas.
You can email me at cc@wikx.com. That's cece@wikx.com. And by the way, Andy, if you're listening, we'll have some bumper stickers in the mail to you this week.
Or you can send an email to feedback@realracingusa.com.
Or to robelting@aol.com. If you got anything to say about this, you know, I'd like to hear some different ideas that people might have. It's going to come down to talking to these owners and throwing some of these ideas at them. And I want to see what they say about it, you know, on the air when they're hit with some of these ideas. Because you know, with the new season's going to start. I mean, this one's going to end, and the new season's being prepared for next year. Well, I sure wouldn't want to be one of these track owners thinking about next year.
No,
and I know that none of them are.
No, and the drivers got to understand, these guys are not the bad guys here.
No.
I mean, you know, whether you have personality conflict with some of them or not as a driver or whatever, these are not the bad guys, man. These are the guys.
They must be passionate about racing
because
they're losing lots of money.
John Sappercone would not be doing what he's doing if he didn't love the hell out of racing.
I think
period.
So. I think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
And I want to make sure that these owners and promoters know that this is no way, in no way, shape, or form, some kind of feeble attempt to downgrade any of the tracks. The reality behind it is they've all been downgraded by our society and the economy, so... Yeah, but if you're a track owner or promoter, you need to start listening and start realizing that, you know, the voices out here are the ones that are, you know, are going to keep your track, you know, open.
Mm-hmm.
The fans, the drivers, you know, I don't know, man. It's a sad state of affairs, and it's 9:15.
And
they're singing hallelujah. Yeah, they're dancing in the aisle. Ronnie was a barefoot child. Angel's voice and the devil's smile. We only had him for a little while, but the world still sings a song. And the day the dreamer died, with a rugged cross we cried. The great ghost he rides, said you gotta carry on.